Brother Mike, reading Exodus chapter 3, verses 9 through 15. And as he was reading this, something kind of come to my attention. If you'll remember this morning in Genesis chapter 3, we talked about Abraham and God coming to Abraham and telling him that he wanted him to go to a place that he would be shown and sacrifice his son Isaac. And then I believe in verse 3 it said that Abraham got up early the next day and left. But did you notice what was just read here a moment ago? In Exodus chapter 3, look at verse 9. And therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Notice what takes place there in verse 11. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Abraham got up and went. No questions asked. Moses, on the other hand, questioned. He questioned God. Well, who am I to go and do this? If a man came to town today and claimed to be God and claimed great authority, how would he convince others? You know, anyone coming today in this cynical world with these kind of claims had better be able to prove it or be thrown into some institution. Wouldn't they have to prove it? If someone come to Tifton and claimed to be God Almighty and that he had all power, he would have to prove that he was, wouldn't he? We wouldn't just take it with a grain of salt and say, well, yep, okay, whatever you say. Jesus made claims of deity. And notice this, as soon as I get my stuff turned on. John chapter 8, verse 58, And Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Now, if you go all the way back into Genesis chapter 3 and verse 14, what does God say there? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus thou shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me. Jesus, in this one verse right here, proclaims himself God. Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. John, the apostle, he also tells us exactly who Christ is. In John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The Apostle John, you know, Jesus made the claim that he is the I am. John the Apostle says that He was in the beginning with God, and he was God. So what did Jesus do to convince so many people that he was truly who he said he was? The I Am, the Word, Logos. Did Jesus not command elements? Luke chapter 8 and verse 24, and they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Remember, they were in the boat and a storm come up and they were afraid that they were going to die. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was calm. Now, I don't know how many of you have been in big water. When storms come quickly, many times it's terrifying, because the wind is blowing you in one direction and the waves are making you go in a different. But Jesus showed his power over the elements. He stilled the sea and calmed the waves. Then we can read in Luke 8:25, and he saith unto them, Where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the waters, and they obeyed him. Wouldn't that prove who he claimed to be? That he had power over nature itself? Then in John chapter 2 and verse 11, most of you probably know this. Jesus went to a wedding. They ran out of wine, and his mom said, Oh, my son can fix this. Gets Jesus and says, Hey, y'all, you do what he tells you to do. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Why? Because he changed the water into wine. Power over nature. But you know, he doesn't simply still the sea and change water into wine. Notice what he does next. In Matthew chapter 14, 24 and 25. The ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Here's another storm. The disciples were in a boat, but Jesus was not with them. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, what? Walking on the sea. Did he have command of nature? Did the claim of I am, the claim of being the Word, does that prove without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus was God? He commanded the elements. But you know, he just didn't leave it there. He also had power over demons. Mark chapter 5, verses 6 through 9. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Jesus not only had command over the elements, but he also had power over demons. This man was possessed by a demon by the name of Legion, because they were many. And Jesus cast him out. He even had power over a dumb spirit. Mark 9:25-26. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, "Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of the man, and enter no more into him." And the spirit cried and rent him sore, and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, "He is dead." Does this convince us of who Jesus was? You know, many people claim to be possessed today, and there are many of people who claim to be able to cast out demons. But have you ever seen it? Have you ever seen it take place? Probably not. Does this prove who Jesus is? That he had power over the demonic world? What about the miracles that he performed of healing? Matthew 8 and verse 3. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be thou clean." And immediately his leprosy was cleaned. Leprosy was one of the most dreaded diseases at the time of Christ. In fact, it was so dreaded that a person who developed leprosy was not allowed to even be in the city limits. They had their own community outside. But Jesus here, because the man asked him to heal him, what did Jesus do? He did not just simply say, "Hey, old man, you're healed." What did he do? He put forth his hand and touched him. That would terrify most people, to touch someone with leprosy. But this here again proves who Jesus is, because he had command over diseases. Then we can read in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 13. This is talking about the centurion whose servant was nigh unto death. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the same hour. What's so exciting about this passage, if you read before Matthew chapter 8 and verse 13, we can see that Jesus was going to go to the centurion's house. But he said, "No, I'm not fit that you come into my house. I am unworthy." And you remember what Jesus said? Jesus was astounded. He said he has not seen such faith, not even in Israel, not even in Jerusalem. Jesus healed this servant just by a word. Does that prove who Jesus is? Then we read Matthew chapter 8, verses 14 and 15. And when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother's mother laid and sick of a fever, and he touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she arose and ministered unto them. the power over diseases, power over leprosy, power over those who were paralegics. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 2. And behold, they brought him to a man sick of the palsy, laying on a bed, and Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins are forgiven thee. And he was healed. Again, this shows us who Jesus is. If someone were to come into Tipton and proclaim that they are God, if they proclaimed that they had great authority, great power, they would have to do all of these things. They would have to command the elements and have power over demons and heal the diseases. But more than that, Jesus had power over the dead. Notice in Luke 7, verses 14 and 15, and he came and touched the bearer, and they that bare him stood still, and said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. Jesus raised the dead son of the widow from Nain. Power over death. Power over death. Then we read in Mark chapter 5, 22 and 23. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. Do you think the little girl lived? Mark 5, verse 22 and 41 through 42. And he took the damsel by hand and said unto thee, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with great astonishment. Do you think if someone was coming to claim to be God, that he would have to have the power over death? Jesus did. Then perhaps the greatest known resurrection. And when he was thus had spoken and cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. Can we truly say that Jesus is who he said he was? The I Am, the Word, Logos. But then we also need to understand John 20, verse 27 and 28. Jesus died on the cross, didn't he? He was laid in a tomb for 3 days and three nights. Then said he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Do you think that a person claiming to be God, they should be able to raise from the dead themselves? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 6. After that, he was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. Witnesses. There were witnesses about his command of the elements. There were witnesses over his power of demons. There were witnesses over his power of diseases. There were witnesses of his power over those who had died and bringing them back to life. And there were witnesses of the risen Savior. Brothers and sisters, Jesus has answered well all of the questions. Yes, he truly is who he said he is. The I Am. The Word. There's no doubt. There's no doubt he is who he said he is. I hope everyone here this evening truly does believe that Jesus is who he said he was. So if you're here this evening and if you're in need of prayer, whatever the reason may be, would you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation?
I am resolved, no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. I am resolved to go to the Savior, leaving my sin and strife. He is the true one, he is the just one, he hath the words of life. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. I am resolved to enter the kingdom, leaving the paths of sin. Friends may oppose me, foes may beset me, still will I enter in. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee.
Be seated.
The emblems for the Lord's Supper have been left prepared for those who weren't able to be here this morning. If you have that need to partake, I believe everyone here tonight was here this morning. 6 o'clock Bible study. As John mentioned, we are starting the book of Galatians. Lord.